Good morning, or good afternoon, sorry. And I have nothing to disclose. So today I'm gonna go over several different organizational tools that you can use to really make health literacy real in your organization. That was one of the great tools that are available for you. But before I start, can you raise your hand if anyone has a health literacy plan for action for your organization? Okay, two people, three people. Two or three people. So hopefully by the end of this, at the end of this session, you'll feel like there's a need for a health literacy plan in your organization, and you'll get some tools and resources to help you develop that. So here again is the health literacy definition that you see often, and there are a lot of opinions about the different definitions. But I did want to note that in the recently enacted Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, communicate has been added to the definition. And maybe what's even more important than the definition is the fact that it's been included in the federal language for the new law of the land, demonstrating that health literacy is not just about an individual's capacity, but really about us as public health professionals in the healthcare delivery system and changing how we do business and changing our organizational practices and policies to make health literacy a reality. So there are tons of tools and resources that are available. I do have a resource document with several of those available. I have some copies here, but it's also attached as a handout for this presentation, so I'm happy to share that with you at the end of the presentation. I'll just mention a few of these, and then I'm going to talk about how you can incorporate those into an action plan for your organization. So some of the trainings that are available, CDC launched a training in 2009, and HRSA has a unified communication course training. Both of these are free. Both of them offer continuing education credits. The HRSA one includes a lot of issues of cultural competency. They have a lot of videos and interactive knowledge checks and things of that nature that are available for a variety of public health professionals. Additionally, there are some strategic plans that are out there, including the National Action Plan to Improve Health Literacy. Are people familiar with that? Okay, great. So that is really an opportunity to, the word national, it's not a national plan, it's really a local plan for all of us to really take action. I'll talk about how that can be used in your local organizations and your local efforts. Additionally, there's a variety of guidance. There's tons of guidance documents on how to create plain and clear communication, as well as standards such as the National Education Health Education Standards and the Culturally and Linguistically Appropriate Standards. There are some assessment tools, both of individual capacities, but also some organizational assessment tools. And while many of these aren't tailored towards public health settings, there's still a lot of opportunity and use that can be taken from those into the public health setting. This is a pharmacy audit toolkit by the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, AHRQ. They also have the Universal Precautions Toolkit, which includes some assessments. And also they have what are CAPS questions, which is the consumer assessment. And all this is here, and I'm happy to provide you. I know I'm rambling off a lot. It's the Consumer Assessment of Healthcare Providers and Systems Survey. So what these are already tested and valid questions that you can use for your own organization. We're using some of these questions to measure the national health literacy objective for Healthy People 2020. You could take those questions that have already been developed and tested and use those in your own organizational practices. Additionally, there's some research funding that's provided by NIH and AHRQ, and then there's a multitude of reports on the National Assessment for Adult Literacy, an expert panel on older adults in health literacy, and several others. So depending on what area you need information in, there's a lot of different things that are available. So whether your organization is very new to health literacy and just trying to take this issue on, there are some tools available. And if you're an organization that's ready to really take action and make some strategic steps to addressing health literacy, there are some tools available to you as well. And after going through the process of the National Action Plan and then talking to a lot of community organizations and other public and state health organizations, we realized that it can't just be one person that cares about health literacy that can make the changes that are needed for health literacy. And it really is a need to have a plan for your organization that really lays out how you're going to do things when it comes down to things, comes down to it. We often find that if we're not being intentional about addressing health literacy, we're either neglecting it or likely creating barriers, truly, to addressing health literacy. So we argue that to change organizational practice, really having a plan will be useful in getting you forward. And so I'm going to walk through some steps of developing a plan that States That Communicate Health has provided, and we've used with several other organizations as they've thought through this process. And also that we have a little workbook to kind of help you, just basically basic steps to help you think through the plan. I also have a few copies of these that I can share with others. So these are some of the steps that you can take, and of course these get changed depending on what your organizational structure is, and I'm going to kind of walk through these and then talk about how some of those tools can be useful in the development of a plan. So first, you really want to identify your advocates. Figure out who are going to be your champions, who are going to be your allies, and then who are going to be those people that roll up their sleeves and get in through the process with you, those worker bees, their working group, to really make things happen. And you want to think about these individuals both internal to your organization, but also those that are external. And as you're thinking about who your advocates are, you don't want to just count them out because they don't believe in health literacy, or they're not already a champion for health literacy, because there may be a process of getting buy-in that's necessary to bring them on board, but rather you may identify them as an advocate because of their position or because of other interests that they have that you can tie in and think that they could really be a voice and a champion or an ally in support of the work of health literacy. After talking to several different organizations who have tried a variety of different things, these have been some of the things that have really come through. Has anyone seen some of the American Medical Association videos? So for many people, showing those videos, which are really compelling, that show the patient in different situations and highlight the complexity of the system that they're dealing with. There's a story of a woman who goes in for treatment, and it's not until she comes back for a checkup that she realizes she had a hysterectomy and didn't know it. So they're really compelling and capturing stories that really can pull at some of the heartstrings for people who may not be thinking about health literacy, or you don't want to just tell them the definition and that's not going to change them, but maybe seeing something in how it really is impacting people's lives could be useful. Additionally, they may know about health literacy and care about health literacy, but they don't feel they have all the skills and the background that they need. So getting them to take some of the trainings that I mentioned, the CDC or HRSA training, could give them some of the broader scope and understanding so they could feel more comfortable being an advocate. Additionally, bringing a speaker from an adult education class into your organization to talk about the challenges that they face when dealing with the health system or public health information. We at CDC have brought in some of our epidemiologists and scientists into our focus groups when they've thought this is the way that we should say this recommendation, and then they hear from the people, the audience that they want to get the message to. Well, the moment you say that, I'm not listening to anything else you have to say. But if you told me in this way, or if you gave me this alternative, that could be a way that they will follow on. And that has really opened the eyes for many individuals who have not really thought about the way that we communicate the recommendations and help get them on board. And also, sometimes you just got to start by doing something, showing the results, and being able to present that back to them. Additionally, if you don't know, there are state and the National Assessment of Adult Literacy released the data nationwide, but there are also state and county estimates of health literacy, and that also has some very compelling numbers that you could use to present to those. Additionally, you want to commit and assess to doing a plan. And commitment, you want to figure out identify what the commitment is of those who are going to be participating. And the assessment piece is really critical. You want to engage multiple stakeholders, not just the communication folks, but multiple stakeholders that can bring in a variety of perspectives. This assessment must be an honest assessment and must include those diverse perspectives. And that really is going to be the meat that you can use to sell why your plan is important. Because we have these gaps or we have these limitations, and this is the plan. The plan can help us do that, so that can go a long way, and really helping you figure out how you should go about planning. Maybe your organization doesn't need something in certain areas, but does in others. And you don't want to just look at how you develop your informations and services. If you're providing services and the physical environment is important, it could be a barrier to individuals seeking services. Consider those things. What's your relationship with the media? If you work a lot with the media is also translating your messages out there. Or can you do trainings and things with the media? What is your communication with your clients? What are your internal communication policies? I've talk to many people who say, oh, well, we don't really have any communication policies. We just communicate. And if there's not those, then there's so many opportunity there to infuse some things with health literacy practice. And then see what others are doing to as you think about ideas for what you can do. And as you're creating the plan, you want to be strategic and evidence-based, but also innovative, as this is a great opportunity, and really cross-disciplinary boundaries. This is not, shouldn't be a plan for communicators by communicators, but rather should include your scientists, should include your epidemiologists, should include your senior management, should include your receptionists, should include the variety of stakeholders that are involved, because health literacy is not just about creating health information, but it's really about this larger structure, and so everybody has a role in doing it, and you want to lay out all those different pieces. Consider solutions to barriers. Many people are like, oh, well, we can't develop a plan because all the resource implications. Well, there's a lot of things you can do to change organizational practice that don't require resource implications necessarily. And there's things that you can do and think about the solutions and ways, other alternatives to do that. So maybe you have a goal, but then you have some other interim steps that you can do in the meantime. And of course, be realistic but forward thinking. And these are some things that go into an action plan. Of course, the issues overview, I recommend if you want to look at the National Action Plan to Improve Health Literacy, you can copy and paste that. It's a public document. You can use that and tailor it to your organization. You want to have a vision and a commitment, talk about your existing policies. Use your goals and also include resources and ways to implement those goals. If you're working on improving your health information and services or your online content, include available resources such as the Health Literacy Online Guide and others. And then, of course, you want to have objectives to how you get to those goals. And then the action steps are really critical because that's the gas. If all this other stuff is building the car, then the action steps are the gas. Who's going to do what, when, and how? And you really want to be that specific in your plan so everyone, as they're signing off on it, has that buy-in. But you're not done once you've created the plan. And we've learned this at CDC and are going through this process. You really need to vet the plan with others. It's great if you create it. It's great, hopefully, along the way you've been engaging these individuals. But you also want to have a process after it's completed to have a period of discussion and feedback where individuals can provide a variety of context in that and refine the plan accordingly. And that way, when you do bring it to your senior, your leadership for endorsement, you can say, well, we've engage these variety of individuals in the plan, so it's not just what I think, but this is what the collective we thinks. And then, of course, build awareness, engage those advocates, highlight the benefits that people are going to appreciate immediately, incorporate into your new employee orientation materials. You have to think strategically about how this becomes not just a plan that sits in your file folder or, you know, a stapled copy on your desk, but really something that becomes part of the institutional process. And you also want to ensure that the plan includes a process for monitoring and refinement over time. We end with this question to ask, you know, is your organization using its resources to improve health literacy or to perpetuate and create health literacy barriers? Health literacy is a massive issue, and there's so much that we can do. The National Action Plan can help to serve as a framework. The Universal Precautions Toolkit, the Pharmacy Audit Toolkit I mentioned, those can be tools to use for assessing your organization. You can use those CAPS questions that I was talking about to do a pretest before you implement the plan and then do a post-test later. A year later to see what has changed in your organization. But if you don't take strategic action and be very intentional about addressing health literacy, and a plan is one way to do that, then you really may be neglecting the issue, or it's just an ad hoc issue that really won't do much in terms of really changing the landscape. And so, you know, 20 years from now when APHA is having their conference, we're not still talking about the same issues related to health literacy, but we're really able to take it to another level in our discussion. So thank you.